John, and this is Stand for Jesus Month. Before we can stand for Jesus, we've got to understand we have to stand in Jesus. By the way, how many recognize the front of the bulletin? My wife pointed that out to me. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. And if you look on the back, it's got verses 11 through 13. The only verse they skipped was verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're at John chapter 14, 1 through 6. And of course, this is the time when Jesus is letting the disciples know that there's coming a time when he would not be with them. And they ask, where is he going? And he lets them know he's going to prepare a place for them. And they will be where he is able to be at soon enough. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and ask you to join in with verse number 6. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I like that. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. The way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, you guys read with me on this one. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Talking about standing for Christ and standing in Christ. Amen. We're standing for Christ because he is not only the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And once we get past the introduction, we're going to be talking about the things that we have in this life. The things we have in this life that Jesus Christ has given us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the direction we need to go to. He is the truth that surpasses any other truth. And he is the life, and he is life-giving. Because of that life-giving ability, he's giving you and I life as well. We're going to be looking at the different things that life has. But first, we're going to finish up the introduction today. I'm talking about what do we have in Jesus, amen. We're going to stand for Jesus. We need to know what we have in Jesus, amen. You know, before you get a car, you want to know what's in the car. Before you get a house, you want to know what's in the house. Before you get something, you want to know what's in it. Before you go to a grocery store, you want to know what's in the product before you buy it. What do we have in Christ? We're going to finish looking at that. And I think that gives us the impetus to want to stand for Christ that much better. Knowing what we have in him. And by the way, there's a lot we have. There's a lot we have. I mean, we couldn't even begin to tell you everything we have. But we can touch the tip of the iceberg this morning. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for what we have in Christ. Thank you for what we were able to see last week already. And Lord, help us as we look more at what we have in Christ this morning. I pray when it's all said and done, Lord, we'll say it's good to be in Christ. And Lord, I pray the Spirit may call someone who is not in Christ today. And they might see the true, the truth of being in Christ, knowing he is the way, knowing he has the life. Lord, I pray that if there's one today without eternal life, if they're not born again, that they would seek Jesus Christ today. They would seek forgiveness of sin as they repent and turn from dead works to a living God, and they would receive Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sin today. And their life would miraculously change by the power of God. Thank you that you've given us the armor of God. Work in us, work through us, Lord, but help us to more appreciate what we have in Christ, not to take it for granted, but recognize there's beauty in Christ. There's fullness in Christ. There's completeness in Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Work in the children's area and the nursery area. Most of all, work here in the adult area, that our hearts would be truly stirred to be more like Jesus Christ, more thankful and appreciative of who he is, and stand for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe seated.
She came searching. She'd been struggling year after year. She didn't know. Soon she'd meet Jesus and her salvation. She met the Savior, and he told her of her sin, and she taught him how he...
did say, come see a man. Told me all things that ever I've done. Amen. Tell you, once you have met Jesus Christ, you want to tell somebody else you need to come see a man. I got saved, went back to my office on Monday, and I couldn't tell the folks a whole lot, but I could tell them this: I got saved. I could tell them I met Jesus. I could tell them I'm born again. I could tell them I'm on my way to heaven. I may not have been the most scholarly about the Bible, but I could let people know, hey, somebody has saved my soul and forgiven me of my sin. And I had to tell somebody. Amen. My wife and I got on the phone. We called my parents. Amen. We want to tell everybody we knew about Jesus Christ, whom we have found. Amen. Well, this is Stand for Jesus Month, and, you know, we need to stand for Jesus. By the way, there's a world out there that's standing against Jesus. They want Allah, they want Buddha, they want Confucius, they want Eastern mysticism, they want a lot of everything, but they don't want Jesus, amen, because Jesus brings division, amen. Jesus said, if you're not before me, you're against me, amen. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. Jesus says, hey, look, I'm going to put the brother against the sister, the father against the mother. I'm going to split this thing down in half. By the way, the Bible still says this: he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. And so that puts a division on down through humanity and puts everybody on one side or the other. The question is, which side are you on? Amen. Because any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. If you're in Christ, amen, he separates you and puts you aside for him. And so it behooves you and I to stand for Jesus. There's a whole world out there standing for religion. Not interested in religion. Whole world out there that's standing for, let's just all get along and be ecumenical. Not looking for ecumenism. We're not looking for that. Well, let's just all get along and drop our Bibles and drop our standards and just sing Kumbaya. Amen. We're not singing Kumbaya. Amen. Kumbaya, my Lord, come back. No, we're not singing that. Amen. By the way, he's going to rapture us out. He's going to come and he's going to take them out. Amen. That's the Kumbaya they're going to get. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we know why we are standing and what we have in Christ. By the way, if you're saved, you have everything you need to stand. I mean, the bulletin says it all. He's given us the armor of God. Amen. You read on the back of there, put on the whole armor of who? God. What does verse number 10 say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the who? Lord. And the power of who? His might. Put on the whole armor of who? God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness against this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of who? God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what does he say? Stand therefore. And so as Jesus is writing to the disciples here, he's letting them know that he's going to go away. But he's counting on them to stand for him in his absence. By the way, he says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Receive ye the Spirit. He breathed them. They received the Holy Spirit. That was going to not be permanently with them, but he was going to come to permanently indwell them, which he did at Pentecost. And he said, now I want you to stand for me. Stand against religion. Stand against society. Stand against the Pharisees. Stand against the Sadducees. Stand against the heathen. Stand, yea, against the devil. You say, the devil? We're supposed to stand against him? Yes.
Yes, we are, Pastor.
Stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we looked at that. Our theme all year long has been stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. According to Ephesians 6:10 and verses 13, 10 through 13. And we don't have to stand our own power, as we saw according to Ephesians 6:10 through 13. We stand complete in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just by way of review, we were looking at the times in Scripture when it said in him, in him, in him. And I wanted to give you the information that the Bible states about what we have in Christ. Now think about it. You want to be complete in him, but you've got to know that you're complete in him. We looked at this verse, first of all, Colossians 1:19, because Colossians states our complete stand in Jesus. Colossians 1:19 says, for please the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. Fullness there was completeness. And then we saw in chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So he says, all fullness should dwell in him. He says, walk ye in him, or advance in him. Then he says in chapter 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in him. So I'm rooted down in him, but I'm built up in him. And then verse 9 says, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you're in Christ, you have everything you need. You've got the Father. You've got the Son. You've got the Holy Spirit. You have access to it all. Then in verse number 10 in chapter number 2, it says, and ye are complete in him. Ye are fulfilled in him. The word complete means to be furnished, to be satisfied, finished, accomplished, fulfilled, made for, perfected, supplied. Let me illustrate it this way. Come here, G2, Joshua. I need Terrell. I need somebody tall. Jeremiah, come here, Jeremiah. And I need somebody else here. So you're going to be in the middle. Joshua's going to be in Christ.
Amen.
All right. Terrell's going to represent the Father.
Hey.
So I want you to stand like this with your arms stretched out. I want you to stand on this side. Here's the Son. You grab his hand.
Amen.
And you're the Holy Spirit. So you're over here. And the Bible says, now ye are complete in him. Joshua's looking around. How do I get out of here? Aren't you glad that once you get in Christ, you don't get out of Christ? Amen. Now you can step out of the will of God. But in Christ, wherever Joshua goes, the Father goes, the Son goes, and the Holy Spirit goes. So as they walk around, Joshua cannot get out of Christ. He's going to be forevermore in Christ. Y'all go over that way. Amen. Wherever Joshua goes, he's going to be in Christ. And the Bible says, and ye are complete in him. So he is furnished in Christ. He has everything. He's got fullness in Christ. In him is all the fullness of Christ. He has no need of anything spiritually. However, when it comes to the armor of God, guess what? Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Joshua can actually come outside of the armor of God, although he cannot come outside of his salvation. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the presence of God and the power of God is still going to be with him, because once you're in Christ, you're in Christ. But he can go defenseless. He can take off his helmet of salvation. He can take off his loins girded about with truth. Or I'm sorry, it's your breastplate. His breastplate of righteousness. He can go without his loins girded about with truth. He can take off his feet shod with the preparation of God's peace. He can put down his sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. He can put away his prayer. He can put away all of those things. And now he's still complete in Christ. But guess what? He's not accessing any of the power that he has. And so guess what? Although he's saved, he's still a sitting duck.
Yes, sir, he is.
Now, has anything happened to the power of God? No. Anything happened to the power of the Son? No. Anything? The power? No. Is he still complete? Yes, but he's not using any of the completeness or of the fullness. And aren't you glad that when you and I get out of the will of God, that God never takes away what we have access to?
Amen.
We still have access. It's not like, well, you're just out there on your own. At any given time, he can repent and get right back in the fullness. He can get right back into the completeness. He can get right back into the furnishings. He can get right back to where he needs to be. Because I told you again, the devil can't take anything away from you by way of your armor. You give that up. You forfeit that. And he literally, and you and I literally have to fight through the will of God. We have to fight. We have to fight through the will of God. Now, I'm still saved, but I don't have what I need.
Right.
I'm so glad that God in his love says, you're complete in me, son. You don't have to go outside for anything. You've got everything that you need right there. And wherever you go, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world. What does he say? Ye are complete in him. The righteousness of God is in him. The confidence in prayer is in him. The fullness is in him. I've got the Father. I've got the Son. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got this access.
Mm-hmm.
And you are complete. Aren't you glad you're complete, Joshua? Amen. By the way, parents, is that not what we try to do to our children? We try to make sure our children are complete in our house. They've got breakfast. They've got lunch. They've got dinner. They've got clothes. They've got shelter. They've got protection. They've got dental care. They've got medical care. They have everything they need inside the home. Hey, son. Hey, daughter. You don't have to go anywhere. Why? You're complete in the house. I've given you everything you need. And every good parent tries to do that. Now, some do it better than others. But we try to make sure that our children are complete in our household. We have no need to go to, they have to go to any place for a need. Now, want, you better go someplace else.
Amen, Pastor.
But a need. Why? They're complete in our houses. And we try to make sure they're complete and they're furnished and they're fulfilled in our houses. Okay, thank you, boys. I appreciate that. And so Paul in the book of Colossians is trying to let them know you're complete in Christ. Hey, without Jesus, we have no pardon, no forgiveness, no access to God, no heaven, only hell, no liberty, only law, no mercy, no Holy Spirit, no help, no intercession, no sinless sacrifice for sins, no shepherd, no security, no savior, no everlasting life, no abundant life, because without Jesus, there is no life. Say, preacher, what do we have? We're just dead in sins and trespasses. And we saw in Jesus, we have the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you don't have to turn there, but he says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. In Jesus, we have been chosen, holy and without blame. We saw that last week, Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then we looked up this one. We have confidence in prayer. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So Colossians says in him. Ephesians says it slightly different. And I want us to look at that today. And when we look at that today, I want us to take the words apart. We're going to look at the words to see what we have in him. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Because there's a phrase that's repeated similar to in whom, like we saw in Colossians. Because Paul, as he wrote to the church at Colossae, is letting them know that Christ is better than all Eastern mysticism. He's better than everything out there. And Christ should be preeminent. Over in Ephesians, he's letting them know the same truth, just in a different way. And instead of saying in whom, he says in him, he says in whom. The phrase in whom is repeated over and over again in the opening chapters of the book of Ephesians. You and I notice Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Tongue tied here. Amen. I've got that word written down here. Amen. We were held captive by sin. We were prisoners to sin. We were slaves to sin and bound by sin and dead in sin. But Ephesians 1:7, notice what it says here. In what? In whom we have what? Redemption. Notice what else we have through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And just for a moment, I want us to consider those two words, redemption and forgiveness. The word redemption means that the ransom was paid in full. So in other words, it says down there, in whom we have our ransom paid in full, or redemption through his blood. It's been paid through his blood. Think about it. If you had to pay for your sins and I had to pay for my sins, guess what? It would cost you your life. And you only have one. But he says we have redemption. We have been paid for in full. It means deliverance. In Jesus we have this. The word forgiveness means a pardon or to have liberty or to be let loose. Notice what he says, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Or the pardon for sins, the liberty for our sins. We've been let loose from our sins. In Jesus we have this. Many folks are upset with Donald Trump because he gave Sheriff Joe Arpaio, he gave him a pardon, which means he doesn't have to face the sentence anymore. And so Trump gave him a pardon. Hey, folks, that's what happened to you and I with our sin. Jesus paid the pardon. He gave us the penalty he paid the penalty for you and I so you and I could be pardoned. That's what forgiveness means. And whether you agree with what Trump did, that's what God did for you and I. You say, well, I don't like Donald Trump. Well, you don't have to like him at all. Amen. He's still your president, though.
Yes, sir.
But guess what? I bet you love the way God pardoned you for your sin.
Amen.
I bet you Sheriff Arpaio is very, very grateful to Donald Trump about what he did. Amen. Equally, we should be grateful to God for what God's done. What does Paul say? He says, you have this in Jesus. In whom? He says, you've got redemption through his blood. He said, the forgiveness of sin, in him you have this. Before redemption and before forgiveness, our inheritance was the wages of sin, which is death and hell. Notice verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You know what your inheritance was before? Hell.
Oh, yeah.
When you and I died, we inherited hell, the payment for our sin. When people die, normally they leave stuff to people. When you and I die, the only thing that we get inherited is a place in hell. Yep. That was our inheritance. But the Bible says in verse 11, in whom, in Christ, in Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance. What is the inheritance? Privileges or an allotment. We have entitlements now. And by the way, that entitlement does not count going down. Amen. It's going up. Amen. It's going to heaven. In Jesus we have this. And Paul says, look, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so instead of death and hell, we have an inheritance. Before you and I were saved, we were marked for destruction. But after salvation, we're marked with preservation for our Savior. Notice verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So in other words, you were marked, you were sealed, you were stamped for security or preservation. That's what the word sealed means. So just look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Notice verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. And after you heard the truth, the gospel of yourself. And notice, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So in other words, when you and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we were sealed. We were marked. We were preserved. Sort of like the old layaway program that we used to have. They don't even do layaway anymore. Do they still do layaway? I don't think they even do that anymore. They do? Walmart does during Christmas time. You could actually go in and put a down payment on something. And it was good as being yours because you were good to come back and pay for it. And that's literally what he's talking about in verse 14. He says he's given us that Holy Spirit promise in verse 13, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. He said, I've given partially some of it to you until the redemption or being bought back of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He says, God has marked you. He sealed you. He's given you the Spirit to show that I've got you. I own you. And I'm earnestly going to come back and get you. Folks, we have that in Jesus. We have that in Jesus. We had a future home in hell prior to salvation. Now in Jesus, we have a future home in heaven. Notice chapter number 2, in whom it continues in verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. By the way, habitation means dwelling place. And Jesus, we have this, us in God and God in us. Amen. So in other words, just like we showed Joshua over there being inside of the circle of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I are in Christ, but Christ is in us as well. Praise God. That's good. We are the habitation of God. God dwells in you. Paul put it this way. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Can you imagine? The God that created the universe and the stars lives in you if you're saved. Amen. Can you imagine that? The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. The God who said, let the earth bring forth, and it brought forth. Let the seas bring forth, and it did. The God who said, let us make man in our image lives in you if you're saved. Glory to God. We have this treasure in earth and dust. Some of y'all don't look excited about that. God is in you. I mean, God, you say, well, I don't act too godly. That ain't God's fault. That is not God's fault. No. Well, he needs to exercise more of his power. He exercises all the power he can through your yielding to him. Amen. If you and I don't feel godly, guess whose fault it is? If you and I don't feel powerful in the Lord, if we don't feel strong in the Lord, guess whose fault it is? Hey, it's not God's fault. There is nothing wrong with God's power. Nothing wrong with God's Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with God's Son. Everything hinges upon your ability to yield to him. Amen. Because guess what? He is in you and you are in him. And Paul said in verse 21 again, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Speaking about the church, but also speaking of individuals. We are the habitation of God. We had a future in hell, but now we have a future home in heaven. Amen. Go over to chapter number 3, and we're going to spend a few minutes here. Chapter number 3. Because Paul, just like Colossae, the writing to Colossae says, in whom, in whom, in whom. In Colossians, it was in him, in him, in him. Now he's saying, in whom, in whom, in whom. Colossians chapter number 3, notice verse number 12. Say, preacher, why are we looking at this? Because chapters 1, 2, and 3, we talked about before, detail our belief in Christ, or what we have in Christ, our wealth in Christ. And our belief is going to dictate our behavior in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And so Paul says, let me tell you what you have in Christ, in whom, in whom, in whom. And so now in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians, now I want you to behave like you believe. By the way, our belief should dictate our behavior. Y'all agree with it? Jeff's the only one that agrees. Amen.
Amen.
Either my behavior is going to identify my belief, or it is not. How can I say I believe something if I don't do it? How can I say I love my wife if I don't show it? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
My belief dictates my behavior. If my belief is right, my behavior ought to be right.
Amen.
And so Paul says, let me tell you, in whom you've got. In whom you've got, in whom you've got, in whom you've got. And so in chapter 4, he starts saying, now behave like you believe. Folks, there's a lot of Christianity going on today with very little belief. And because the belief is minimal, the behavior is also minimal. That's the truth, folks. Brother Serge read the offering. If my belief is right, my giving is going to be right. If my belief is not right, then my giving is not going to be right. If my belief in Christ and what I have is right, guess what? My behavior is going to be different. Hey, if I really believe that people are dying and going to hell, I'm going to witness like Layla did. If I really believe that. You say, well, I'm waiting for the opportune moment. Folks, the opportune moment is now. Mm-hmm. Now is the appointed time of salvation. And so Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, is saying, hey, look, let me tell you what you have in Christ. And notice what he says in verse number 12 down there. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. And I want to hone in on several of these words right here in chapter number 3 and verse number 12. These three words, boldness, access, and confidence, because this is loaded. If we're going to stand for Christ, if we're going to stand for Jesus, we need to know what we have in him. One of the first things that Paul says, what you have, we have boldness. Boldness. Now, I've seen some bold people. But the word boldness actually means outspokenness. Some people, I mean, they'll just speak their mind. They'll speak their heart. They don't care what happens. They don't care what you're going to say. They don't care if it hurts you or not. I'm going to speak out my mind. By the way, the Bible still says speak the truth in love. And so as we're being outspoken, we should be outspoken in love. And so Paul says here, he says, Christian, let me tell you something. In whom we have boldness, we have outspokenness. What am I talking about? Job demonstrated that in the book of Job when he cried out to God. He was crying out for vindication, for help and justification. He was bold. He was outspoken in what he said. By the way, our children should be bold when they're speaking to us. But at the same time, they can't be flippant in what they say. Which lends into the next definition. Boldness means outspokenness, but it also means to be frank. And we can be frank with God, but we should never be flippant or fake. We should be real, but humble. So you can go to God boldly. You can go to God with outspokenness. But my friend, you better be frank and you better be humble about what you say to Almighty God. He still is God. He's still the creator. He still has a heaven. He still has the power. He still has all power and all authority given to him. He is still just as omnipotent as he was before, even though he's given you the potential to be bold, which means be outspoken. Or to be frank, the publican with Jesus, he was bold. He said this, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." What was he? He was frank. He was outspoken. He wasn't flippant. He was humble, but he was to the point. He said, I'm bold. Lord, be merciful to me,
a sinner. He was real. He understood who he was, but he understood he had boldness before God. And he could be blunt and he could be frank with God. We can be blunt with God in our prayers. Aren't you glad that we can go to God in our prayers? And we can, by the way, let me give you this. In your prayer life, don't try to get flowery with God unless you mean it. Don't go to, oh, magnificent, the pastor being say, concave God, the magnanimous God. You don't even know what those words mean. Oh, magnificent creator, omnipotent from the beginning, all-knowing, all-seeing. God's like, you don't even believe none of that you're saying. Just give me your heart. Be real. God is not interested in, hey, what did Peter say? Lord, save me. I don't find him coming to Jesus and saying, oh, magnificent water walker who extends his creation, who stands on the water. Oh, magnificent. He didn't say it. He said, Lord, save me. I need to be saved. Aren't you glad that you can come to God boldly? You can be blunt. You can be frank. You can be honest with him. Romans 8:26 says it this way, and I'm so glad it does. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Hallelujah. That's me. Lord, sometimes I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to be praying for. I got a prayer list. I understand that. I understand the basic necessity of life. But sometimes just get, Lord, I don't know what to pray for him. I don't know what to pray for her. I don't know what to pray for this situation. Yes, I can pray for your will. But Lord, what is that will? Sometimes we just don't know. Lord, is this your will? Is this not your will? Sometimes it can become so gray and so foggy. But God says, hey, you have boldness in whom we have boldness. Outspokenness, frankness is the definition, bluntness. Another definition is assurance. When Peter said, Lord, save me, when he was sinking, he was assured that God was going to do something. Now, mind you, when Peter said, Lord, save me, he didn't know what Jesus was going to do. But you know what he said? Lord, save me. Jesus could have made the water come back up under his feet and he could have kept walking. But the Bible says he reached out and took his hand. I love a personal God. He reached out and took his hand and touched him. I'm so glad that God is not so high and lofty that he can't reach down and touch you and I. Peter said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down. And they said they walked together back to the ship. What am I saying here? The idea of boldness comes with assurance. It also comes with the idea of confidence. Paul said, grace is sufficient. So when you look at this word in chapter 3 and verse 12, in whom we have boldness, that means in Jesus Christ, you and I have boldness, which means outspokenness, frankness, which we shouldn't be flippant or fake, but real and humble. We should be blunt with God in a authentic way. We can have the assurance with God. We can have the confidence with God that God will hear us when we talk to him. I like that. I like a God that I can be real with. You know, I remember when I first met my wife, I could be real with her. I had other girls that I called myself interested in, but I couldn't be real with any of them. But when I got with this sweet lady here, I could be real with her. And I could tell her my heart. I remember when my hair first fell out and she's in New Jersey and I called her. And I said, I just need to be real with you. I'm 18, 19 years old with no hair. Got all these spots in my head. I'm thinking I'm going to die of something. I got something and what I got ain't good. And I called her and I said, honey, I got something. I don't know what it is. She said, I don't love your hair. I love you. Amen. I could be honest with her. I could have just waited until college showed up with all these spots in my head looking like a leopard. Say, hey, how you doing? What happened to you? Well, I was going to tell you, but I thought you might drop me over the phone and give me a Dear John letter. I said, I'm going to be honest with her. I'm going to be upfront with her. I'm going to be frank with her. I'm going to be bold with her. I'm going to do all these things, outspokenness, frankness. I'm going to give her what's on my heart. And folks, we can do that with God. We can be honest with him. He knows already. So it's not like we're hiding something from God. God knows our heart. And God's just saying, be real. In whom we have boldness. Folks, we have this in Jesus.
And we're talking about standing for him who we have boldness with. Hey, if you don't have the bold stand, say, Lord, I can be bold. Help me to stand for you. God, help me to speak for you. God, help me to witness for you. God, help me to walk for you. God, I don't know how to do these things, but Lord, work it in me. I'm not like this brother. I'm not like that sister. I'm not like this preacher. I'm not like that deacon. I'm not like this teacher. I'm not like that bus driver. I'm not like that nursery worker. Lord, this is me we're talking about. Help me to be the best me in Christ that I can be. Help me to be the best me in Christ that I can be. By the way, Joshua was still in the middle. In whom? In him. Boldness. Notice the next word. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access. I like that word. Access means admission. It means we can go right to God's throne. In Jesus, we have this. Some of us have what we call safe deposit boxes, and you have the key. Some of us have these computers where you have PIN numbers on them and passwords on them. Only you can get inside that. Amen. I like going to the bank and some of these folks, we have a password, and they say, well, give us your password. I say, well, you should know it. They say, well, we don't know it. Only you know it. Well, y'all got all that computer technology. I know you know my password back there somewhere. Aren't you glad we can go straight to God? You know, now Equifax has got hacked. And so all these, 143 million people they said should be affected with Equifax. And so you may be compromised. Don't you love the fact that your access to God cannot be compromised unless you compromise it? We have access. We can go to God. I don't need a mediator. I don't need a priest. I don't need to slay an animal and drain the blood and sit it up there and give it to the priest. I can go straight to God. Paul says, hey, you have this in Christ. And so I'm encouraging you to be strong in the Lord. The power is my why. You've got boldness. You've got access. He says this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. The word confidence means reliance or trust. So in other words, Paul said, you've got this boldness. You've got this outspokenness or frankness with God. You've got the ability to be blunt, and you've got the assurance and the confidence when you go to God with your bluntness and your boldness. But you've got access. You've got this free admission because of what Jesus Christ did. You've got confidence. And so why don't you just go ahead and go? And he says, notice this, by the faith of him, all because we trusted Christ. All because we trusted Christ. And notice what Paul goes on to say, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Paul said, don't give out because you see me going through hard times. Paul says, I'm writing about this. And yes, I know it's hard times. Yes, I know it's not easy. Yes, I've got some issues going on. Yes, I've got some problems in my life. Yes, I know I'm getting beat for the gospel's sake. I understand that. But don't you give up because I'm getting beat up. Amen. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He said, I'm doing a lot of this for you and for your cause. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Paul says, you know what? I'm going through some hard times, but I don't want you to go through any kind of heartaches and faint. And so he gives a prayer for them. He says, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There we go right there again with the completeness. All the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And as Paul closes out the first three chapters, he said, and I'm giving you all this because this is what you have in Christ. And he says, in him you have all of this. And as a result of their belief, notice what he says in chapter 4 about their behavior. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you what? Walk. Walk worthy of the vocation. Where were the, Paul said, because of everything that I just gave you in chapters 1, 2, and 3, to let you know what you have in Christ, to know that you can stand for Christ, that you can stand in Christ, to let you know you're complete in Him, to let you know everything you have. He said, now let your belief now be demonstrated in your behavior, church at Ephesus. He said, look, I'm going through tribulations. I understand that, but don't let that stop you. Oftentimes we see a great name of Christian or a great Christian in our families that have stood the test of times, and they stumble, and sometimes we want to give up. Well, if they stumbled and fell, what good's going to come out of me? Paul said, oh, look at that. Look at what you have in Christ. In whom? In whom? In whom? In whom? And Paul said, as a result of that, I'm going to pray for you that you would stand and that you would do what you need to do. Hey, folks, we're talking about everything that we have in Jesus, by whom we are saved. It all begins with Him. And it all begins with life. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And folks, if we don't stand for any other reason, we should stand because Jesus has given us life. It all begins with life. And so it behooves you and I to stand in Him and stand for Him. Others need to see Him in us and us in Him. A world out there needs to see Jesus Christ in you. They need to see Him at your jobs. They need to see Him at your school. They need to see you standing for Jesus. They need to know there's certain things that you won't do. They need to know there's certain things you won't say. There's certain places you won't go. There's certain people that you're just not going to spend a whole lot of your time with. There's certain programs you're just not going to watch. There's certain music that you're not going to listen to. I'm going to stand for Christ. And when I stand for Christ, I automatically stand against a whole lot of stuff. Because in Him is all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily. And so we should stand for Him and for what He has done and what we have in the Lord. He said, finally, my brethren, in chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's never been in our power anyway. It's all been in the Lord's power. Next week, we're going to talk about the kind of life that you and I have. We'll look at things like the eternal life and the everlasting life, the light of life, the bread of life, the water of life, the abundant life, all because Jesus laid down His life. He laid down His life. And folks, I don't know about you, but when I think about what I have in Christ, I almost feel bad for not being walking in Christ all the time, for going outside of Christ and trying to stand in my own power, for trying to do my own thing and do it my way. For having an attitude for what doesn't go my way, for getting all bent out of shape when things don't go the way I, and I've got so much in Christ. And I get convicted. Yep. Say, preacher, I don't get convicted. Well, I do. Because I've got so much in Him. And folks, as we think about what we have in Him, it should be that much easier to stand for Him. As you stand in Him. If you can't stand in Him, perhaps you don't have Him. If you don't have Him, the Bible says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, hey, we know you're a man sent from God. You're a man. We know that. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you saved today? Are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, get in Christ. Say, preacher, how do I get in Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Repent of your sins. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did Paul say in Ephesians 3:12? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence, by the faith of Him. But then he says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. But he said, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. See, you've got to hear it first. You've got to hear there is a hell. You've got to hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to hear that the wages of sin is death. But you've also got to hear, but the gift of God is eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, we're destined for a place called hell. But with Jesus Christ, we're free. We've been pardoned. We've got redemption. If you don't have that today, I trust your invitation. You would come and let us take a Bible and show you how you could inherit these riches. But first of all, you've got to get rid of the rags of sin that you have.
Yes, sir.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit's power giving Paul these words to give us and give to the church at Ephesus, letting them know what we have in Christ. He said it over and over again, in whom. Thank you that we have everything that we need in Christ. We're complete in Christ. Thank you for the boldness that we can have, the access that we have, the confidence that we have because we're in Christ. And Lord, help our behavior to match our belief, knowing that we have so many riches in Christ. Lord, maybe there's one under the sound of my voice today that does not know Jesus Christ. I pray that you would convict that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they might accept Christ as their Savior for it's everlasting too late. They may be born again. Thank you for loving us. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name. Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. Let me invite you to receive Christ as your Savior. Sitting right where you're at, maybe you would say, preacher, I'm not born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? I won't come and pick you out. I won't call you by name. I'll just acknowledge that your hand is up and ask you to put it right back down. But perhaps you're here today without Jesus Christ and you need to be saved. You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Been in church for a long time, been baptized. But if I died right now, I'm not absolutely sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? All across this room, would you stick your hand up so I can pray for you? And you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl. All across this auditorium, I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. If I died right now, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? I'm not sure. And Christian, how about you? Knowing everything that we have in Christ, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have forgiveness, in whom we have the habitation, we're the habitation of God. We've been sealed. Does your belief match your behavior? If not, why don't you ask God to give you the boldness that you can stand for Him? Say, preacher, I could stand a little bit stronger. Pray for me. You raise your hand. Preacher, I could stand a little stronger. Pray for me. At the job, maybe, in my home, with my children, at school, I could stand a little stronger. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. Folks, we will be tried in our stand. We'll be tested in our stand. If Paul said that he faced tribulation in his stand, we know that we would. But Paul said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Stand for Jesus in this wicked world that needs to see the light of life. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. Some Christians that are standing for Christ, but they could stand a little better. And they could stand a little stronger. They perhaps could stand a little bolder. They perhaps could stand a little bit more confidently. They could stand probably a little bit more knowing they have access to Almighty God. Well, they could stand knowing they have redemption and forgiveness. They could stand knowing they have an inheritance waiting in heaven. And Lord, strengthen their stand, all those that raised their hands saying, I could stand a little stronger. Letting them know the riches that they have. Help each one, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. They may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, Lord, help them to take the whole armor of God that they may be able to withstand in the evil day. Knowing that they wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Help them to stand, Lord, fully clothed with the armor of God. Being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Lord, help each one to stand. And help us to leave here differently than when we came in, knowing that we're rich in the grace of God. And we can stand complete in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet just for a moment. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, maybe you need to come. Ask God to help you stand a little better. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe for a husband, maybe for a wife. Maybe you have to realize the confidence that you have, the boldness you have, the access that you have in Christ. Or maybe just remembering the completeness that you have, rooted and built up in him. The fullness is in him. You are complete in him. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you're not sure that heaven is your home. Would you take, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. It won't take but a few moments of your time. We want to make sure that when you die, heaven is truly your home. The Bible is clear, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again, Jesus said. But for those that are born again, there's a place in heaven. You're the habitation of God now, but the abode of God waits for you. Heaven is your final destination. Hell is no longer your destination. Christian, maybe you ought to just praise God for what you have in Christ. Thanking him for what Ephesians writes to us about. And then believe and then behave the way we ought to. Standing for Christ. Standing for Jesus. So, preacher, I expect the rest of the Christians to stand. Don't expect anyone to stand if you're not going to stand. You stand. And encourage someone else in their stand. You stand for Christ. You stand for Jesus and tell them why you're standing. Because in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. In whom I have boldness and access with confidence. Tell them why you're standing. In whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin. In whom we've obtained an inheritance. In whom you also trusted. In whom also after that you believe you were sealed. For that Holy Spirit of promise, you stand. You stand. Father, thank you so much for the stand that Paul is encouraging the Ephesian brethren to have. Thank you that he lets them know they should be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They should put on the whole armor of God. They can stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, our enemy is unseen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, therefore, we need to stand in you, being that we are complete in you. Lord, help us to take the armor of God that's fully given to us. It's affordable for us. Lord, help us to put the cares behind us. Help us to truly rest in Christ and the finished work of Christ. And Lord, help us to trust Jesus Christ, that we can stand for him and we can stand in him and stand by him. Thank you for loving us, Lord. May we leave here with the armor of God on and take our stand with the brethren, standing against all evil. Give us what we'll need tonight as we make our way back to hear Pastor White preach at 5. And Lord, pray that you would work as we approach our 16th anniversary. Lord, help us to be busy behaving as we believe. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us in our battle now as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.